our partners over at Wise Foods. I mean, if we lose in 2024, it looks like you might be going through your Wise food storage a lot sooner than later. Are you prepared for whatever life throws your way? Because if emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about is where your next meal is going to come from. And this is where Wise food storage comes in. You can save $50 on your four-week survival food kit. Get free shipping only at preparewithdana.com. It's a two-bucket, four-week survival food kit. You get 2,200 calories plus 64 grams of protein per day. 28-day supply. Everything's made with high-quality ingredients right here in the USA. U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, all easy to prepare. Just add water. And it has a 25-year shelf life. They have a ton of different dishes. We'd be here for quite a while if I went down the list. So go and make sure you just go to preparewithdana.com and see all the dishes that they have. They have tons of them. Order your kit today at preparewithdana.com. Save $50 on your four-week survival food kit plus free shipping. Visit preparewithdana.com.
Some of your colleagues on the Democratic side also are calling for a ceasefire in Israel. What's your reaction to that? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that the three things that need to happen are, one, Israel has to be able to decisively defeat Hamas, this brutal terrorist organization. You can't have a ceasefire if there's no legitimate negotiating partner on the other side of the conflict.
I rarely do this, especially for somebody like Hakeem Jeffries. And when I saw this soundbite, I think it was yesterday, I didn't even know how to put it into the rundown. I was like, well, so he said something that was correct. You know, I'm like, well, that was, and he gave remarks at the march yesterday that, I can't believe I'm saying this, they were good. It's Hakeem Jeffries. Guys, it's Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, why can't more Democrats just say it like that? Hakeem Jeffries, why can't more Democrats just say it like that? First, I'm bewildered. We're starting the day today with me being entirely bewildered. So welcome to the Bewildered Show. Dana Loesch here with you, as always, to get you started. We're halfway through the week, and we are, Kane, I'm so confused. Is Thanksgiving next week?
It is.
I'm just waiting because I'm starching up. Okay, and I need to, please remind me before I let everybody go today, and I'm going to get into the important stuff. I actually have never done this. I want the internet to tell me the appropriate number of potato sides for a Thanksgiving meal. This is a fierce debate. Think Monopoly level debate.
Wow.
I know. So I'm putting that out there because I need to know that more than I want to get into the primary and everything else. All right. So, yeah, well, we'll get into that. I got to set the table. Let me set the table first. Like, I got to set up the silverware and all that, you know. So greetings and salutations. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch a simulcast. YouTube, they're rowdy. Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. All right, so the march yesterday, I told you, man, I eyeballed it. I'm like, I'm really good at that. I'm really good. I can look at a crowd and be like, yeah, that's about X number. I actually have never been wrong. Sidebar, I also accidentally count cards. Anyway, so it's an accident. So anyway, it was the largest pro-Israel rally in United States history. It was over 290,000. Now, the other thing, all my Jewish friends were debating this yesterday, and I thought it was hysterical because they were saying it's the largest since, they said it's, you know, the largest, I can't remember, since, you know, X, whatever. It was like basically like the largest gathering of Jewish people. And then it was the caveat outside of Israel because there have been a lot of funerals and state events and things like that. I'm going to let my friends sort it out. But I mean, long story short, over 290,000. I told you it was way more than 100,000. That was way more than 100,000. Everyone was peaceful. And there was no trash left behind. So weird. I have a friend who jogs in the area. And she said that, yeah, after there was like no trash left behind. People were picking up their trash. They were so nice. Wow. It's totally not like, you know, an anti-Israel BLM rally. And totally not like that. Like where they, you know, deface the street and then they're like, it's art. So that I mean, that was pretty. The crowd was amazing. They had such. I mean, it was incredibly, incredibly peaceful. And I don't think there was. I mean, and there's such a difference there. There's such a difference. In the meantime, Israeli forces have stormed that Al-Shifa hospital. And we talked about that yesterday, how they have been using, and by they, I mean Hamas, they literally have a bunker underneath the hospital. And again, I've known this for forever. They've had that there, I mean, for over a decade. And the reason why everybody knows it isn't because you're experts on the Middle East. It's because it is just jackwagony crazy for a terror group to use a legit hospital as its HQ. And as I said yesterday, in 2014, Amnesty International, it had written about it, NPR did this thing where they talked about how there were torture victims that just like magically popped up in the hospital's urgent care, because they take them down in their bunker and torture them and then pop them right back up. I mean, they've noted, I mean, this has been one of the worst kept secrets ever. So not even a secret, they kind of brag about it. But anyway, special forces have stormed that hospital. And apparently Hamas did not want to remove the babies and all that in there. And they were trying to act like, oh, my gosh, Israel's killing babies. I mean, you could not have used that as your headquarters, number one. B, you know what you also could have done? Not be terrorist. C, you could move the babies. There's like a million things you could have done. Not anybody else's fault but your own. So, yeah, the Al-Shifa Hospital, super, they're storming that. And apparently they're also gaining access to the tunnels that lead to the bunker below. So that has all been happening. The story on that started coming out yesterday evening. They said the fortifications inside the compound in the underground, they think that there's some hostages there. Now, they don't know if they're alive, but they think that some of the hostages were taken and kept there. And Hamas always says, oh, Al-Shifa is strictly civilian, but literally no one else, including foreign press that's not exactly friendly to Israel, says that. Everyone's like, yeah, that's not true. Because, I mean, X, Y, and Z, here's all the evidence, here's all the receipts. So in the meantime, while this has been happening, I'm slowly moving because there's a lot of stuff that I want to hit today. It's a bit of a busy news day, and there's a lot of different pieces. I don't know. I'm going to pull up for Juan for the simulcast the super weird video that came out of Xi Jinping arriving in San Francisco at the APEC summit. And he was greeted by Gavin Gruesome Newsom and Newsom's wife. Now, the video that Juan is going to show you looks like it could have been in China, because there were people lined on either side of the street with the Chinese flags, the CCP flags, the Communist Party of China flags. It looks like it could have been in China, but it's in San Francisco. It made me think of Khrushchev when he had said, this was at one of his speeches at the United Nations. He had said that we will take America without firing a shot. We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within. Boy, oh boy, that looks like taking America without firing a single shot right there, does it not? And consider also what I told you yesterday, how you have, I don't know how much taxpayer dollars. I mean, I'm sure we'll get a figure. And if they don't release it, it will be FOIA'd, that have been spent to protect the CCP head in some kind of optic for quote unquote normalizing relations. I'm not quite sure how you can normalize relations with them, right? How do you normalize relations? They have an American hostage. I mean, they've jailed Uyghurs. They took over Hong Kong and were jailing everybody. I mean, how do you normalize relations with that, right? That's like saying, go normalize relations with the meth head out back behind the 7-Eleven next to the dumpster. Go normalize relations with that dude. Yeah, I don't think so. That's not how that works. Like, you got to stop doing your shady stuff before you get... I mean, that's wild. And do you know what else I thought was interesting, too? I didn't see a single protester out there. Now, maybe I'm just not looking at the right video footage, and I've really looked at, you know, a lot of it, but I did not see a single protester that was out there protesting against at all. It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, we're all the social justice warriors. Isn't that like San Francisco is where all the hippies are, right? Isn't that where all the it's like where protests were born in America, modern America. Where are they at? Where are they at? I don't know. I'm very concerned. I'm very confused. So that was happening, the APEC summit. And I'm sure we're going to see more from that. I mean, I'm just waiting for the glorious amount of sound bites. Now, in the meantime, now that's been happening. The House passed a bill to avoid a shutdown. I'll repeat. I know everyone's like, what? The House passed a bill to avoid a shutdown. Now, I'm still learning about all the nitty gritty that is in said bill. However, that's pretty significant. And I feel like because we got to talk a little bit about, there's two roads within the GOP right now. You've got one road where people are taking where they're pushing towards success and solutions. And then you have, you know, like, I mean, Mike Johnson, I think, has been doing a good job at shepherding everyone. But then you also have this situation. Matt Gaetz filed it was an ethics complaint. Let me look up here. This is so dumb. We're going to dive into this coming up. He filed an ethics complaint against Kevin McCarthy. We get it. You don't like him. You don't like him, Cynthia. We get it. Can you guys just stop? I need Cynthia and Karen here to quit fighting. Can you guys stop? Because no one cares about your beef. I get it. There's beef in these streets. I get it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Okay. Get over y'all selves. Stop it. I'm so done. Can we just have a normal damn holiday? Can we have a normal holiday, a normal Thanksgiving where we gather around the table? I don't got to see some turkey twink drop it low on Macy's, you know, televised parade. I don't have to have somebody being a jackass about masks or clot shots. Can we just have and fight over normal stuff like Monopoly and Risk and Dominoes? Can we just do that? Can we just have a regular old slap fight and not a slap fight that's based in any kind of politics or ideology? For the love of all things holy, do it for the children. Done. But no, he spoke at the March for Israel, Mike Johnson. I love that he's boring. I told you this. I love that he is cardboard grade boring, because I feel like then people underestimate him and he can get stuff done, right? Operate kind of under the radar. So we have a lot on the way. We're going to break down some of the latest with this government shutdown averted. So that means, by the way, that means TSA is not going to shut down right before Thanksgiving travel, because that was on deck. I don't know if you guys realize that. That was going to happen because Democrats want to politicize everything. Also, eight of the murderous teenagers that beat to death another teenager at this Las Vegas high school, they have been arrested. Now, there were 15 total involved. I think all 15 should be arrested and charged with homicide, not manslaughter, homicide. And this is going to be interesting. We're gonna discuss this, what this means, what's next, etc. Also, I've got a whole bunch of leftist culture, all kinds of stuff, like a Wisconsin city council that's trying to ruin Christmas, and Nikki Haley in a spectacular move of political seppuku ends her political career. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, applesauce pouches are weird. Can I say it? It's just weird, man. And NBC says nearly two dozen toddlers have been sickened by lead linked to applesauce pouches. Kids age 1 to 3 were affected, and at least one child showed a blood lead level 8 times higher than that. Can I be real snotty for a second? all these bees out here who have been flipping out over that stupid study about gas stoves where they turned on a gas oven legit in the middle of a room that had no ventilation, nothing at all. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is my house. Yeah, if you live in a box that's sealed up, you don't have any ventilation or anything. Anyway, they've all been trying to like have a phallus measuring contest online, trying to see who loves their babies more because they can preach more against gas stoves. But they're giving their kids lead pouches filled with applesauce. Shut up. Anyway, moving on. They're warning, they're basically saying, look out. It's, what is it, the Wanna banana? What the hell is that? When you have to put I am fruit on the side of the package, you ain't. All right, life expectancy for men in the U.S. falls to 73 years. 6 years fewer than women per new study. It's because we nag you to death is why. It's why. It's for, as soon as you guys get comfortable, we're like, honey, can you... You know it's true. The moment you settle down and that's in the chair or the sofa, honey, can you? You know it. You know it's coming. Life expectancy. So it's 73 years. That's actually really sad. It was published in JAMA Internal Medicine. The life expectancy, 6 years shorter than that of women. They said that they think it's partially a consequence of over a million corona deaths. That life expectancy has declined, and also because dudes were hit. Now remember this, dudes were hit harder than women by the Rona, right? I mean, that was one of the things we all were kind of like curious over, like how is that possible? But so yeah, they said that life expectancy countries Japan, Korea, Portugal, UK, Italy all enjoy a life expectancy of 80 years or more. Turkey and China also. I don't know if I believe anyone where they say China, they all fare better. I do think that living a sedentary lifestyle contributes to it because you don't want to turn into those people on WALL-E that are sitting around in their floating chairs, right? And then like they live their whole lives, you know, they don't go out and touch grass because there isn't any. So, I mean, I think that there is something to that. Just, you know, let's see. Also, media jobs slashed amid soft ad market. Of course, you knew that. That's one of the first things that's cut. When times get bad is ads. So I don't want to hear anybody complain about sponsors because they help bring you free radio and they help employ people. And that's how we keep the world going round. And that's also the first thing that's cut in a bad economy. Also, scientists discovered what they say is the first vampire virus. Stop finding weird stuff and calling it scary things. It's not. And parents are fuming because of after school devil club. No goats are going to be sacrificed. And I think that if you have... I don't know. It's just dumb. It's just proof that God exists if you have to have a devil club. Yeah. Aw, boy, cell phone. Stay with us. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana to learn more.
Have you ever played Monopoly? The purpose of the game is to build wealth by buying assets and profit. Are you playing the game by just passing go and collecting $200 without staying out of jail? Where does that go in the long run? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, All of a sudden, people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going to see it. It's going to help our kids, and it's going to help our country.
That's bad. That's just bad. I have never seen anyone commit political seppuku as fast as that. That was Nikki Haley. She was talking to Harris Faulkner, and wow. I totally disagree with that. And I say this as somebody who's probably been targeted more than the average bear by anonymous trolls online. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. And we are at the bottom of this first hour. And that is, I had tweeted this just literally. I saw this, I guess it was last night when I, was last night? I saw this last night, her soundbite. And my first thought was, well, that's not really how free speech works. Secondly, though, and I think that this is incredibly important to note, you don't deal with a society's tone by using more government. You don't take a broken government to try to fix a broken society. If it's a discussion of civility in the public square, that is an issue with society. That is an issue with how we treat each other. You're not going to fix that through government regulation. And I don't, and I am hardcore against this. My husband and I actually disagree on this issue. And he can be wrong six ways to Sunday because he's totally wrong. The same reasons that she's citing there are literally the exact same reasons that this administration cited when they were creating, what was it, their truth thing? Yeah. I can't remember. That one chick who was a theater, like all the annoying theater kids put into one person, that Nina Yankowitz lady, wasn't that what her name was?
The Truth Council?
Oh, yes, Truth Council or Truth whatever. Or I don't even remember what it's called. It was such a nightmare. But that's
Ministry of Truth.
Pretty much. I mean, that's like, you know, pretty, that's pretty accurate, I think. I mean, that's, and I love it how her team on Twitter, I know, I saw this too. It says, we're taking names. I'm like, yeah, you are. Yeah, but not in the way, that's some slogan. Imagine what she just said. Imagine telling that to the founders in the days of, you know, Harrington or Publius or Silence Do Good, Silence Do Good. Imagine telling them that back in the day, because the founders, when they were writing the Federalist Papers and even the anti-Federalist Papers and putting forth these very provocative arguments, they did so using pen names, or they just did it anonymously. They would have like a country farmer or, you know, a country Federalist, or they would just use these anonymous names. And you know, Alexander Hamilton and John Madison, all of them, Patrick Henry, they all used anonymous. They wrote anonymously. And it was only later that it was found out who wrote what. I mean, imagine telling that to the founders back in those days. There's a difference between trolling someone and putting forward provocative arguments. But I would even say, and again, I say this as someone, I've had my address put online. I've had people try to, I've had death threats online. I've been targeted more than the average bear. And I still don't think, I'm still 1,000,000% against government regulation of stuff like this. You cannot have the government tell these companies, well, you're going to put your name online. You're going to have your name go with it. I mean, it's not a free speech position. And it's not in keeping with the way that our country was founded either. It just really isn't. I just can't believe, and she just kept doubling down on this. And then she tried to walk it back a little bit. Where's this at? Audio soundbite. Well, there's a couple. 18. I have so much audio. Let's do audio soundbite 18, because she was trying to walk this back. Listen.
We need our social media companies to verify everybody so that we can get all of those.
Well, you're not really saying that people can't tweet
anonymous. I mean, but that's bad enough, because you see what it's doing to our kids and bullying and everything else.
Do I think life would be more civil if we were able to do that? Yes. It's the same reason why I think doxing, like, you know, you should stand by what you say. But no, like, if you can have anonymous, I don't mind anonymous American people having free speech. Okay. What I don't like is anonymous Russians and China and Chinese and Iranians having free speech.
How do you even implement something like that? How is that even workable? That's just goofy. I mean, has she never heard of a damn VPN? Does she not understand how those work? How do VPNs work?
Check yes or no. Are you American?
Yeah, I want everybody's name. I want everyone's name. Are you? That's not going to work. You're talking about fixing a societal tone with big government. I mean, that sounds awfully China-rific, if I'm being honest. We had, I love what one listener said. You make a political post with an unregistered Twitter account, believe it or not, jail right away. I mean, we have some of the best social media posts in the world because of jail. AKA instigator. Literally Insta, G-A-T-O-R, I love it. But it's true. I mean, that argument, it's a bad argument. You can't, I mean, tone is a societal problem and the remedy is not found in more government. I just don't get my jimmies rustled over people who talk smack online. If I did, I would be upset all the time, every single day. If people are so upset about this stuff to the point where they feel like government has to come in to regulate it, you need to seriously go and touch grass, because not everything that, look, online doesn't translate to real life. If that's true, AOC would have a hell of a lot more influence than she does in real life. It doesn't move the needle as much as you think it does. It is greatly exaggerated because everybody spends their time there. It's where everybody goes to have their hot take. Can you actually be seen in society without your hot take? Are you participating in society if you don't come with your hot take? I mean, that's how stupid it is. But no, I don't think so. I think that's dumb. You can't, and to say it's a national security threat, that's legit the exact same argument this administration used to try to go after people on social media, to try to go after conservatives on social media. It's a serious issue. And it's weird to hear her make this argument. I mean, it's not, because she's kind of always been, there's a reason why a lot of us haven't been we're not super excited about her presidential campaign. I mean, it's when you're trolling, you're just saying mean things online. I mean, there's things that are protected speech and not protected speech, death threats and things like that. That's not considered protected speech. But we got to be really, really careful. The left are the people who say words are violence. We are not those people. We are not the words are violence people, because that is what the left says to justify their control of speech. We do not do the same thing. That's not who we are. It's just to hear her say that and to push it like that. And she keeps doubling down. It's weird because she doesn't even use her real name online. Uh-oh. Now, that's not all, because that was a spectacular face plant. But wait, there's more with the purchase of one slap chop. So, she said this, audio soundbite 14. This is just dumb.
What happens? He comes out of the gate. He hits the female chair of the party. He hits the female anchor on the platform. And then he hits me, and I'm not saying anything.
I ain't saying, I'm just saying.
But he might have a girl problem. Yeah. I'm just saying he might have a girl problem.
In case you forgot, she's a woman. And that apparently gives her more credibility in this race than others, because they don't have vaginas. Right? Oh, you lowered taxes, and you actually barred the CCP purchase of land in your state? Vagina. I mean, that's bad. Oh, but wait, there's more.
What?
Yeah, audio soundbite 15, flashback.
And say that the reason I got into politics was because of Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, you write about her being a big inspiration for you.
I went with my friend Eleanor Kitzman to a firm and leadership program where Hillary Clinton was speaking. And I walked out of there and I said, I'm running for office.
She really liked her some Hillary Clinton back in the day. And that wasn't that far back in the day. Just got to be honest, it wasn't that far back. So you can see why, in addition to her, we've all known this. That's why one of the reasons why I've never been like on that Haley train for president, because we know all this stuff, right? I mean, I could sit here and get into like how one of her biggest donors is this big firearm biometric, you know, company. And I got some questions about their lobbying as it relates to firearm rights, Second Amendment rights. You know, I got a lot of questions. There's, and it's perfectly justifiable. It's not anything personal. It's a business of the country, right? I don't want somebody talking about limiting my speech. I don't want to see people, you know, discuss and try to put a conservative spin on the policies of the Biden administration. It's just wild to me. And there's no way. The only thing that's going to save her now with a soundbite. The only thing that's going to save her now with this is if she comes out and says, you know what, I really thought about it and I was wrong. I was wrong to have this position. I understand the concept of free speech is what this country was built on, that our founders, when arguing the principles of this country that later formed the Constitution of the United States, they argued anonymously. Some might, and you can sit here and also have the, that's the only thing, by the way, that's the only way that she's going to get out of this. You can say, too, and try to put a caveat on what is allowed and what isn't allowed as you know, with disagreement and trolling. But remember, Republicans, conservatives have been clawing for every inch of speech. Orwell said the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. And the left has been trying to classify mere disagreement on issues as hate speech. If you, a woman listening, believes that a guy can't chop off his schlong and become a woman, you expressing that by many people on the left is considered hate speech. And vice versa. If you're a man listening and you hear that a woman takes some meat off of her thigh and fashions a Frankenpenis together and wants to call herself a dude, and if you express disagreement with that, that is hate speech. This is what I'm talking about. So when you can't even put the flag of victory on the hill of those narrative arguments, why in the world are you entertaining the idea of giving the government that is run by these people authority over what people can say and how they can express it online? That is not a conservative place to be. That is not a conservative proposal. It's not a conservative position. It is not a conservative or constitutionalist argument. And it betrays the very spirit of the founding of this country. It is anti-American. And no candidate for any office, especially one running for Republican, should ever consider this idea, much less propose it. We have a lot more on the way as we get moving on. Our partners. Remember, you know, times are tough and you want to thank people who bring you free radio like Headrest Safe. No, stop. Don't you even wait. If you're going to get up and get you some new Sodi, hold up. You need this. You need a Headrest Safe. All the other safes out there are garbage. Here's why. Everybody knows what they are. I literally can look in someone's car and I can tell you where they're storing their stuff. Especially their gun, because they're obvious. Even those who are just even somewhat initiated. The Headrest Safe, though, nobody knows. And it's because it integrates seamlessly into your vehicle. They can match over 80% of the vehicle interiors out there. And it's a passenger side Headrest Safe. I mean, it's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. So it doesn't affect or have in any way get involved with driver side stuff. There's no threat, no anything, no worry about driver safety. It's a one of a kind vehicle safe. It is invisible. And it actually won an award. Concealed Carry Magazine gave it their Editor's Choice Award for Best in Class Vehicle Safes. Now, it's designed as a gun safe, but it's an invisible secure storage solution for anything that you need. Medication, cash, jewelry, whatever. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. Magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. You also have the keypad and a hard key, too. And the headrest safe replaces your existing passenger headrest lock securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. That thing ain't going nowhere when you put it in there. And if I can put it in there, you can put it in there. So again, it's smart. It's useful. I have one. I think it's a great Christmas gift, a great gift for yourself for now. Treat yourself and get it for someone else as well. I mean, I think it's one of the most innovative products to hit the market. I think this is the vehicle safe that you want. And for a limited time right now, the Headrest Safe, they have a bundle price. It's been reduced by a whole $100. And with code Dana, you get an additional $50 off. So order your Headrest Safe, install it yourself, and enjoy peace of mind, 100% guarantee. Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Find it at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana. Get yourself an exclusive $50 off. Theheadrestsafe.com. Code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, 100% money-back guarantee.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And I also wanted to say a word quickly about two amendments to strike provisions in the bill that are going to make it a lot easier for gun buyers to circumvent the law and turn pistols into concealable assault rifles. In January, DOJ published a new rule to restrict guns with an accessory known as a stabilizing brace, which transforms handguns into a weapon that is very powerful and very easy to conceal. For some reason, there's not one, but two separate provisions in this legislation to defund implementation and enforcement of the Justice Department rule.
So that's stupid and not in any way accurate. That is Jamie Raskin, Representative Matt Raskin. He's a Democrat out of Maryland. He's defending the Biden administration's their prohibition on pistol braces. And he's trying to say that arguments that come from Republicans that it violates the Second Amendment. He's like, no. We don't want to repeal it. We want them to read it. Oh, be quiet. I behave. He's doesn't understand pistol braces, clearly. It makes it more powerful. It makes more bullets. It puts 11 more bullets in the barrel.
And he said more concealable.
It turns it into a submachine blunderbuss. It's what it does.
How is it more concealable with the brace?
Yeah, that's also...
Wow.
It's magic, Kane, because the brace is invisible.
Is it?
In addition to adding all these extra pews, it makes it invisible. So it's like a cloaking technology that is attached to the brace. And so when the brace is attached to the gun, it cloaks it with invisibility. It's Klingon tech, dude. Like, you're living in 23, we're over here in 3050.
Wow.
It's Klingon tech.
I had no clue.
Straight up. Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
He's an expert on guns. I mean, you know, if you want to know how they work, you just ask Jamie Raskin. No. Yeah, that's right. That sounded super smart. He's like, yes, you know, it's it makes it way more powerful. It's a concealable assault gun. What the hell is that? Wait, does anybody say anything? Yeah, it's a concealable assault rifle. You know that they were actually created... The pistol brace was legit created as a tool for the disability, for the disabled. It was created for disabled veterans who go to the range because they find it therapeutic to engage in that muscle memory. There's a lot of research that supports this. And there's a guy who, that's literally just why he created it. It doesn't do anything. You know, and I'm not saying that I have one or anything, but you know, it doesn't do anything. I'm not. You can go to hell, ATF. Go to hell.
Makes it more powerful and concealable.
Yeah. I mean, mine actually turns it into, like, I can, when I run out of ammo, I can throw it and it turns into a bomb and then another one magically appears in my hand. It's crazy. It's like super, it's like a God gun. It turns any regular gun into a God gun. That's what it does. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners who help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Caltech, the R50. Great Florida company. And they make a lot of awesome food. And the Caltech R50 is no exception. Now, you're familiar with the P50. It stands for 50 pews. I mean, it's just, you know, it's super awesome. It stands for 50 pews. But the Caltech R50 with us, this is their carbine. And the cool thing about this is that it's incredibly versatile. That's one of the things that you should know about this. It's incredibly versatile, and you're going to be able to trust that it's made from a great company. The R50, it offers, like the P50, over 7 inches of rail space up top. So you get a lot of options for optics. You got additional rail space on the bottom for accessories as well. The R50, it looks like a SpaceX. It looks like that Marvin the Martian blaster. It does. Marvin the Martian looks like his blaster from Warner Brothers. But it takes the same mags as the P50, but you got all the benefits of a carbine. You got the ambicide folding stocks, a 16-inch threaded barrel, really awesome ballistics, super light, well-balanced, very easy to manipulate, and accurate. Now, as the P50 stands for 50 pews, the R50 stands for, well, also 50 pews. Standard capacity, right? Standard capacity. That's all you need to know. The R50 series, it's the 5.7. The P50 started all the R50s, it's like the brother of it. And again, you still have that same capacity, the same lightweight, same innovation, It's a great 5.7. You got to check it out. It's the R50 rifle from KeltechWeapons.com. Learn everything you need to know about the R50 carbine. KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Would not hit him in a kidney. HC5, you're all down there, right? Not a very big hallway. So I'm walking out. You could talk to Bruce Westman, because I actually called him after you guys reported something. I said, did I hit somebody? Bruce Westman and I are walking out. And I guess a reporter was interviewing Burchard or something. I guess our shoulders hit, because Burchard runs up to me after. I didn't know what he was talking about. Some reporters asked me. I did not run and hit the guy. I did not kidney punch him. I did not shoot anything like that.
You didn't shove him?
No. We're walking through. You were at HC5, right? You guys line up along the way there. It was Bruce Western and I walking out. He must have been interviewing someone. I didn't know it was him or something. I guess our elbows hit as I walked by.
Our elbows hit. Dude, my dude, are we still going on about this? I would just be like, you know what? It was an accident. I don't think it was. It was an accident. I would hope it is. But I tend to think it's not. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. This is what we got to root out some of the stupidity. Here's the issue. I sent this out to you. Can we pull up the prep list? Hold up. When I was making the prep, when I was starting to get everything together last night, I was like, do I want to send this one out? Because it seems like, you know, it's really mean, but it's true, though. It's a piece that is over at Red State. And the headline is Republican Fecklessness and Division is Going to Destroy the Party. This is right after we get somebody like Mike Rogers. Now, Mike Rogers is not everybody's perfect everything, but he's perfect for this. Cardboard, non-controversial. He's going to just buckle in and get it done. That's what you want. If out of the Senate and the House, I would want my House Majority Leader to be, and the Speaker of the House, I want them to be, I want them to focus more on hurting the cats than getting the hits on TV. And he's, you know, been doing a pretty good job of that. So we got to deal with this stuff with Gates and McCarthy. I've told you before, I think that Gates is just a McCarthy Jr. That's why I was just like, why are you guys fighting? Like, you're literally fighting because you're the same dude, just at different stages of life. It's true. And I know Matt Gaetz. I don't dislike him personally. I just think that all of this was so dumb and it's carrying over. So because of that, Gaetz filed an ethics complaint against McCarthy, ensuring that this is going to live on. Sometimes I have to ask, and in politics, you run across these people from time to time who take their eye off the ball. They get so dug in on exacting revenge and being petty about it that they end up jeopardizing their claimed stated mission. And Gaetz is in that territory, and McCarthy is going to get in that territory if he keeps talking about this. Stop it. Just stop it. I mean, if he hit the dude in the hall, I would have more respect for him if he just came out and said, you know what I did? Because I was pissed. I did. I elbowed him. You know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, especially in front of a reporter. You know, I should have elbowed the reporter. That would have actually been pretty boss. But he didn't do that because they don't think like that. You got to think like that. And he's not thinking like that. I just want to just, why are you guys doing? Why are you guys making all these problems for yourselves? You got Mike Johnson in there who's and some other Republicans like Chip Roy and others who are doing the work. And these two cats are out here slap fighting. All I hear is, you're taking away all the attention from what the Republicans are doing. They got a CR that made Democrats mad passed last night. Now, I don't know if it's going to go up in the Senate. But they actually accomplished something last night. Is it perfect? No. Could it have been a hell of a lot worse? Yes. That's where we're at. In order to get perfect, you got to get a hell of a lot less worse first. You got his baby steps. I do not envy the position of the House Speaker. And it's for reasons like this. Because I'd be slapping everybody. I'd be like, you're going to fight? You're going to sit here and do this stupid stuff in front of the press? You're off your committee. You're off this committee. I will strip you down to nothing and humble you in front of America. You will not get another damn dime from the speaker's pack. Nothing. I will make your life a living hell until you get it together. That's what I would do. Now, I will. This is the only time I'm going to say this. When she was sharp, I don't think she was, you know, at the end of her term, a speaker, Nancy Pelosi. One of the reasons she kept everybody in line is because she played hardball. You got to do that. You got to do that, and you can't be focused on this petty stuff. This is what aggravates me. I mean, so they, I mean, it's considered a win for Republicans. That's why Democrats were so mad last night. I don't know if you saw, I saw some stuff trending. They were mad. They were mad because they felt like they had been outmaneuvered. And in a way, they kind of were. I mean, they were focusing on a couple of other things. And, you know, Johnson was just, and some of the other Republicans that were there working with him, they got everything done. And they voted overwhelmingly to prevent this shutdown. It's a temporary thing. So they're going to, they had 93 Republicans that voted against this, fine. And what's interesting is that he actually negotiated and made a bit of a deal with Democrats on this. The same thing that got McCarthy in trouble. And it's the same reason. This is why I say Gaetz's move is petty. I don't care if you love him and you're best friends with him and you guys send each other homemade Christmas cards. I don't care. It's petty because he went after McCarthy for the same thing that Johnson did. Let's be honest. Johnson went across the aisle. He had to leave some of the more hardcore R's behind and he had to make a deal. It still wasn't as good as the original conservative deal that we had, but it was a hell of a lot less worse than what we could have gotten. And it gave him a win. But the complication here is that it calls into question, and this is all going to be swept under the rug by his surrogates and supporters, because you have people on the Republican side and conservative side. This is one of the reasons I'm so frustrated with Republican, conservative, right-leaning commentary today, is because so many people have their heads up the ass of a politician because they are thirsty for power adjacency. You have these people that are chasing influence on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and Twitter, and they want to tweet photos of themselves at so-and-so's cocktail party, and they want to tweet photos of themselves at such-and-such gala. You don't get those invites unless you're kissing ass. Guaranteed. I say this as someone who grew up in the industry. You don't get those invites unless you're kissing butt. And these people will not point out that Johnson just did the exact same thing that Kevin McCarthy, and I don't like Kevin McCarthy. I say this as someone who disliked him before Matt Gaetz did, on record. He did the same thing McCarthy did, and that cost McCarthy the seat. My whole point is that this is about pettiness, and we have to, I want the pettiness to go away, because we're not going to be able to solidify narratives of Republican solutions so long as these two stooges are duking it out on the side. It could have been over. Then you had the elbow incident. It could have been over after that. But then you had Gaetz file an ethics complaint. It could have been over after that, maybe. But then you had McCarthy talking to the press. Oh, my gosh. Stop it. So it is. It's do I like everything in the bill? No, I don't at all. But you have a 3-seat majority. What are you going to do? And in order to widen that majority, you have to show the American people, look, this is what we're doing for you. This is what we got to win. There are some people out there that don't care what's in it. They just want to know, did we win? Did our side win? Do we have the illusion of getting a little bit more of what we wanted than not getting what we wanted at all? Those are the people. It's not because they're dumb. Some of y'all out there don't follow this every day. It's not because you're stupid. It's because you're busting your butt. Because you might be out there working 2 and 3 jobs. You might be working late hours so that you can put Christmas gifts under the tree. I get it. Everybody gets it. Nobody's judging you for that. But that's what I'm saying. The optic of this is incredibly important. And with these two stooges duking it out over here, they're going to take the attention off of that, and the media is going to run to them every time. So what are the people who are looking for wins? What are they going to see? They're going to see a depressed narrative, not getting the traction in the media, but they're going to see these cats fighting. That's not good. What did I tell you about elections? Where they won? The margins. This is why I'm focusing on this so much today, because some of you, I actually had a couple of you email me. You guys didn't know that the CR passed last night. They didn't know, but they saw the fight. They were like, you should talk about how McCarthy and Gaetz need to stop. And these are people who like both of them, more people who liked Gaetz than not, who had reached out and were saying, you should talk about this issue. You know, they need to stop this fighting and get this done. Well, it passed last night and they didn't even know it because they were watching the infighting. literally on MSNBC, CNN, the networks, they didn't cover, I mean, they didn't even know it was getting to that point. Who was it? Maddow, sorry, verbal typo, it stays, who went out and didn't even know, this is someone who works in politics, like, and her producers didn't even, weren't even aware that it was up to the point of passing because everybody was so focused on the McCarthy fighting. Do you see what I'm saying? This is why they've got to stop it. At some point, you've got to realize, yes, I dislike this person, but I hate aiding my opposition more. As somebody who hates almost everyone in the political industry, I come across this every day. As Kane can attest. I really don't like a lot of people. I don't play well with others. But I dislike my political and ideological opposition more. That's what these guys got to do. But what is it? It means humbling yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to swallow your ego and you got to move. And until they do that, guys, we're going to have problems. It's both of these cats at this point. I don't care how much I don't care if you adore McCarthy. I don't care if you're best friends with Gates. I don't care. They got to stop it. And all their little friends and their little cliques got to quit it too. Because this is petty at this point. It's making them both look, they're debasing themselves. But can anyone really debase themselves as much as Nikki Haley has in the past 24 hours? Can we just have a conversation about this real quick? Man alive. So all of this stuff coming out, we were talking about how she said that she wanted, in her administration, you wouldn't be able to be anonymous online. Which, that would have really sucked for Alexander Hamilton back in the day when they were doing the Federalist Papers. That would have really been a bummer for all those cats because that's how they wrote most of them. That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, she's going to find herself in a bit of a pickle because I don't know how she gets out of this. I mean, I told you the one way she's going to get out of it, but she could get out of it, but she's not going to do it. That's if she comes out and says, you know what? I was wrong. I thought about it. I was incorrect on this. We played, we'll talk more about it. We also have Chip Roy coming up. He's going to be coming up later on in this program. We're going to ask him about the CR ask him a little bit about, you know, what can we expect? Because it is temporary. So when are we going to have this fight again? Right? Right before we start making our primary decisions? Yes, Dana, that's it. Oh, great. So great. Right in the election cycle. Again, 3-seat majority, though, so it's tricky. If you want strong coffee that wakes you up in the morning, you need Black Rifle Coffee. If you want some strong coffee, it's going to put some hair on your chest, even if you're a woman, maybe not, then you're going to want some Black Rifle Coffee. Everything else just tastes like sadness. It tastes like sadness and defeat. So you want a winning coffee, that's Black Rifle Coffee. Unlike the other people out there, they actually roast their own beans. They don't have they don't import the roasted beans and then white label it and pretend they do it themselves. They actually do it themselves. And they've been also raising a lot of money to benefit vets through the boot campaign, $1 million to be precise, through the ready-to-drink coffee. So they have the ready-to-drink coffee cans. You can get them as 12 packs as part of the coffee club. Coffee club, by the way, is the best way to drink coffee. If you love coffee, you're going to want to be part of the coffee club because you get your selected roast or roasts, if you like, you know, more than one. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and then you get free shipping. I mean, you can't go wrong at all with the coffee club. It's awesome. And every can of that ready-to-drink coffee contributes to making, goes all to that $1 million donation to veterans through the boot campaign. The boot campaign focuses on really customized care to our vets who are coming back from combat, and they treat the invisible wounds of war, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, all of it. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community. With your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So AI could predict heart attack risks up to 10 years in the future, according to an Oxford study. That's if the robots don't kill us all first. They said, according to this piece in The Guardian, researchers say that more accurate analysis of cardiac CT scans could actually save thousands of lives and improve treatments. But artificial intelligence could be used to predict if a person was at risk of having a heart attack all the way up a decade into the future. It's a lot of lives that would be saved, I think. Yeah, I think so. A lot of lives, if it works out that way. So you guys remember the big fire that shut down part of I-10 in LA, where they already, it's already a nightmare, I mean, for traffic. I mean, that's why Missing Persons wrote the song, Nobody Walks in LA, like walking in LA, like nobody actually walks in LA. Their traffic is heinous. And so now with the I-10, several miles of that being shut down now because a fire that started in a homeless encampment. So this was another one. Just days after the massive blaze destroyed part of the 10 freeway in downtown LA, on a different freeway, another fire broke out. People were calling in about a fire near the interchange of 105 and 110. This was like 7 a.m. yesterday morning in South L.A. They said that there was a patch of land burning. They said right on a transition ramp between these ramps, they said that it looks like it started at another homeless encampment. This is the second homeless encampment that has caught fire and has shut down a freeway within the span of 6 days. Actually, 5 days. Within 5 days, two major fires started from a homeless encampment that have damaged overpasses and shut down part of a highway. No joke. In LA, where traffic is heinous. Maybe you should do something about, I don't know, like the encampments or something. I don't know. Let's see. This Washington, D.C. CVS has replaced shelves of toilet paper with framed photos of the products. So, like, when you go in, it is exactly what it sounds like. When you go in, they have, like, actual 5x7 frames of the picture of the product in the frame, like you would put of, like, a family member sitting on the shelves. And then they have a sign that says, press button if you need assistance. And the sales associate will be here. They said they've had to do this because the theft of necessities has become a nationwide problem. They're like, it's all over the country. It is horrific. So they've actually taken, they put them like, so pictures of toilet paper, the toilet paper. By the way, have you seen the prices that are on the shelves for the toilet paper? $10 for a 6-pack of toilet paper. $10. $10. Thanks, Joe Biden. Thanks so much, Democrats. So coming up, Congressman Chip Roy, who's apparently on the floor of the House right now doing his job, you know, he's going to be joining us momentarily when he comes off. So stick with us back in just a minute. In addition to bringing you affordable cell phone service, and you're not going to wait for 5,100 hours if you have a question or you need to talk to somebody, because Patriot Mobile, they have an entirely 100% U.S.-based customer service team. These people, I think, love talking to folks. My mom kept one on the phone for like 40 minutes. I'm not even kidding you. And she just like called for, was Nana. She just like called for one question. And ended up, she's like, he was such a friendly guy. And we talked about his truck. I'm like, okay, but that's his job. You can't. Anyway. And they don't even know that she was my mom. You can trust that they're not going to be taking your money and funding gun control or DEI or CRT or advocating for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. And with Patriot Mobile, you have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. Keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. And don't forget to ask about that coverage guarantee. Free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and switch today, or call 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to mention offer code Dana to get that free activation. Patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing. I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing, one, that I can go campaign on and say we did. One. Anybody sitting in the complex, if you want to come down to the floor and come explain to me one material, meaningful, significant thing the Republican majority has done besides, well, I guess it's not as bad as the Democrats.
So I guess we don't have to ask Chip Roy what he thinks of the CR. Remember what I told you. First off, welcome back to the program. Good to be with you. Dana Lash here. You can listen coast to coast, all that good stuff. Remember what I told you. Now, again, I want you to suspend, which you should not have this in your head anyway. You need to put yourself first. Quit putting these politicians ahead of yourselves. Stop being like, I got to protect such and such politician from criticism. That's what they do. They get that when they do something bad. You put yourself first. Stop jumping in front of these cats when they do something wrong. Quit it. So I made the mention. Now, remember, In order to get the CR passed and to get the win, Johnson did make some deals. And I did point out, and this is accurate, that is what McCarthy did, and it's what got McCarthy out. I'm putting that out there so you understand his criticism here. Now, Roy was not a McCarthy guy, like, at all. He just wants to, like, Chip Roy is the guy that you would like to have in Congress because he hates it. He literally hates it. He just doesn't like it. And he is so tired of dealing with this stuff. He wants to go do his job for the people and then go home. He wants to go back to his ranch in Texas out in the sticks and, you know, and shoot his guns and go hunt and see his kids. And that's all he wants to do. You know, he wants to represent the people, get the job done for the people. He's going to pull the car over. He don't have time for this. So he's saying that he's not here and didn't go through all this stuff to get a new speaker just so they could do the same thing that they did when they had McCarthy. And that's exactly what happened. But everyone's supposed to like it more because it's not McCarthy. Just because it's not McCarthy doesn't mean it's better. I am going to say that. Johnson's boring, and I think that he puts his head down and he gets the work done. He doesn't seem to be petty. However, it's very important to realize that he just did what got Kevin McCarthy out, which then begs the question that it wasn't about at all making deals with the other side. It was about because somebody didn't like Kevin McCarthy. So he says, we passed the CR off the floor of the House and we suspended the rules to do it. And he asked, why did 127 Republicans join with 208 Democrats? He is mad about the CR. And he makes some really good questions about it. He brings up some good questions. Now, I also understand the argument that Johnson puts out. You have a 3-seat majority. I get it. But then what was the point of everything that we went through? Let me share my cynicism with you. You realize that the speaker switch up was just everybody being taken for a ride, right? And I have to say this because there are paid influencers out there that try to present to you like they're not big names that are on Instagram and that are on Twitter, and they sit here and they argue for one side or the other. These people were not found anywhere in politics 5 years ago. Oh, but they're all over now. Everybody was taken for a ride with the speaker thing because you didn't get anything new. You literally did not get anything new. You didn't get anything more conservative. It's the same thing. So, I mean, if people want to pretend that it's better, fine. But don't sit here and shine a turd and tell me that it's a gem. I'm just saying. So is he going to be joining us next hour now? Because he's literally on the floor, blowing it up.
2 minutes. I think he just got
off. Oh, I want him to yell at people more. I want more of these sound bites. So I'm totally fine if he chooses to yell at people. Because some people need to get told. You guys know the rule.
So I'm currently in communication with them.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we're going to have him at the top or bottom of next hour, or if it's going to happen here in just 2 minutes.
Yeah. But he says, I mean, and he's not wrong with this. So the same CR that got McCarthy kicked out is what Mike Johnson. Now, the reason we bring this up is because there were the people who tied all of this up. We had a very, very conservative proposal. I think the one that originally that ended up getting blown up was more conservative than the one that we ended up having. But if it's bad, if Kevin McCarthy made deals with Democrats and it's bad, then why is it suddenly good now? I got questions. We're going to ask him about that because it's a good point. I mean, the bill, and he was one of the ones who voted no, by the way. He didn't want to fund open borders. He didn't want to send money to Ukraine because that's all that's happening. All the people who were mad about money going to Ukraine and all that, that's what's in here. It is what is in here. I'm just saying. I understand my moderate friends who are going, Dana, it's only a 3-seat majority. What did you expect? I'm just telling you, that's not what I'm arguing about. That's not the bone I'm picking. The bone I'm picking is that we were told for the sake of the union and to get a more conservative deal and to not suspend the rules to pass things off the floor that we had to switch out the Speaker of the House. And we went through this whole thing. We took a lot of hits. It actually took Republicans down in polling in a time when we don't need it, because this is the time when everybody's building up their coffers going into an election. So it did actually hurt Republicans. And we went through this whole thing in order to get the same damn thing that we had. Literally nothing changed. And everyone's going to act like it's a big victory for Matt Gaetz, because apparently the Republican Party exists to just like blow smoke up his ass, I guess. That's what it is. Can we stop acting like he's precious? I say this, I know him. Can we stop acting like the guy's precious? Are people going to ask Matt Gaetz how this is better? If you made a deal with Democrats and that got the last dude kicked out, is he going to sit here and push to get this guy kicked out? Because he made the same damn deal with Democrats. And we're funding Ukraine. Seriously, is anybody have the balls in the right commentary, or is everybody too busy kissing Trump's ass to ask this question? Can we stop acting like the circle jerk theater isn't what it is? I'm so tired of this. We got taken for a ride with this stupid speaker fight. Everybody's so afraid on the right to talk because you guys are a bunch of charlatans. Half of you damn people with your stupid ass shows, your stupid podcasts, your dumb YouTube and Rumble crap. Half of you are so full of yourselves. You are just so thirsty for attention and for someone to invite you to Mar-a-Lago or to Tallahassee or wherever. I'm so tired of it. Be honest with the people that you claim to care about, or are you just going to grift off of them? These people are grifting off of you. Is anybody going to ask this question? Are they going to ask Precious Gaetz? Are they going to sit here and ask? Are we going to sit here and pretend that this guy isn't just like Mitt Romney and Kevin McCarthy Jr.? I love the audacity of his stance questioning me, who has the record of disliking McCarthy longer than this dude could spell Reagan. And that is spell Reagan as an adult. Longer than he could spell Reagan, asking me, you know, why are you selling out for McCarthy? I don't like McCarthy, but I don't like this either. I don't like people playing you and telling you that what they're doing is for the best interest of the country, or doing this and telling you that what they're doing is more conservative. And then everyone goes, that's right. I have too much self-respect to go along with this. And I have too much respect for my audience to go along with this either. This is stupid. So what was the point of the whole speaker fight? What was the point of all these good people getting hit? What was the point of calling Thomas Massie a rhino? Thomas Massie, who would beat half of these people's ass into a hole in the ground with his conservative record. What was the point of calling him a rhino if you're just going to switch it out and get more of the same? Stupid. So we're going to be funding all the same stuff. Oh, I get it. We only have a 3-seat majority. And guess what? We're going to have a 0-seat majority with these kind of morons running this stuff. You're not going to have any seat majority. Don't take my word for it. Go and look at the polls. Go and look at how many Republicans are in very competitive districts and how close it is. And how close Democrats were able to make it because of that speaker stunt. That's the thing. You know what? I take back what I said last hour. I don't want media talking about the CR. Because it is the same thing. I get it, 3-seat majority. But what gets me is that we were told this was better. I wish they would have just said, I would have liked it better if Gaetz just said, I don't like McCarthy. And McCarthy's like, I don't like Gaetz. And then just have him fight it out and then be honest with everybody. And so that way you can't act like this turd sandwich that you just served us is better than the last turd sandwich that you tried to serve us. It's the same turd sandwich. I made myself mad. I don't like making myself mad with these clowns. But this is our money. This is your tax dollars. I mean, our wages can't keep up with inflation in this Biden economy. And we're sending more money to Ukraine. Who knows what all we're going to be sending? Who knows? The whole thing is insane. So we're waiting for the congressman, and we're gonna join him shortly. We also have Florida Man that's gonna be coming up on the way as well, and we'll be getting to all of that because we following all of this stuff that's happening on the floor.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
From now on, when people ask me, Dana Lash, what my spirit animal is, I'm not going to say a mad raccoon or a honey badger. I'm going to say it's Chip Roy. Congressman Chip Roy out of the great state of Texas. We just played that audio of him telling everybody because people needed to get told. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you this question. Are we going to pretend that the new CR is any better than the old CR?
It's total garbage.
Okay, let me ask you the second question. Is the reason that everyone's acting like the new CR better than the old CR because Mike Johnson endorsed Trump and McCarthy looked like he wasn't in that circle? I'm just trying to understand the dynamics of why Johnson making a deal with Democrats is better than McCarthy making a deal with Democrats. And I say this as someone who has an OG McCarthy disliker.
So, first of all, joking aside about just calling it garbage, it is garbage.
It is.
Perpetuating Pelosi spending levels and priorities. It is no better.
You got Ukraine funding. Ukraine funding's in it. All the bad stuff. No border.
United Nations funding, including UNRWA with dollars to get the Palestinians, get to Hamas, continued perpetuation of the funding of the abortion tourism policies, all the transgender surgery policies of the Department of Defense, continues to fund the Department of Justice at war with the American people, ATF that wants to confiscate your guns, pistol braces, all of those things we're continuing to fund. All in the name of we'll fight later. So to answer your question, it is no better than the CR under Kevin McCarthy. It's just as bad and just as deserving of rebuke. Now, again, I want to be clear. Mike is my friend. I like Mike. I actually think Mike understands where we want to go. I'm giving him some grace, but I'm telling him, man, you've just used up some of your lives. You know, this is kind of, to use the baseball metaphor, strike one and two. When we come back after Thanksgiving, let's go. Let's, you know, we'll get through this now. You've done it. It's already done. So now what? When we get back to Thanksgiving,
correct me if I'm wrong, because didn't they suspend the basic, like the rules that everyone said were really, really precious until they weren't?
It was passed under a suspension of the rules. Now, in fairness, it was because some of us were going to oppose the rule because we didn't like the rule. And so he suspended the rules to pass it. But, you know, that's not the way to do business.
I'm just trying to understand why we went through this whole thing of getting a new speaker so that we could get more conservative stuff. And where's the more conservative stuff I was promised?
Well, to be very clear for everybody out there, what you and I just talked about, it's continuing those spending levels with all of those policies.
Yeah,
I believe we could have had an approach where we could have sent over something that isn't what I want, but something that we could have at least said we were getting something for. And we talked to Mike last week about that.
Right.
Send over a bill at the current spending level, which I hate, but get paid for the disaster funding, $16 billion, and get Israel paid for, send it over to the Senate and dare them to vote against funding for the troops, funding for Israel, and that we are paying for all supplementals. Live to fight another day, separate DHS, have an isolated fight on DHS after the new year. I thought we could sell that. We were working conservatives, even though it funded all manners of sins that I hate.
Right.
Because I wanted to be a team player and unite us. You have 217. That's what I think he should have done. He didn't. So now the Senate's going to pass this, and we're going to perpetuate this funding to January. I don't know how we're going to isolate a fight in January, but I'm sure as hell going to try. At every stage, I'm going to keep fighting. And we're going to do this. We're moving the ball in the right direction. Okay, Dana, let's all at least be positive. Okay. We're on our side of the football field. This isn't an omni. This isn't increasing spending. It's a CR of last year's levels, which I find absolutely abhorrent. But it's at least on our side of the field. We're holding spending in check with a CR, and we're trying to force it to cuts. We're trying to force pay force for the supplementals. We're trying to force border security. So my job is to keep taking Mike now as the new speaker and say, look, let's get back on our side of the field and let's go frigging do the job.
So I love that you used a football metaphor because I don't know anything about football, but I just nodded yes because everyone else does. We're talking with Congressman. It's a long running joke. Talking with Congressman Chip Roy about this. Okay, so the next fight on this is going to be in January. Then I imagine it'll be another temporary thing, right? Because again, I get the arguments from my moderate friends, and I respect that you say Mike Johnson's your friend. But I also like that you view this as, well, this is show business of the country, not show friends of the country. Where does that put us? So, like, we have this fight again in January. Where does that put us?
Well, I mean, we're going to be in the same position, right, where they're going to have members of our conference who don't want to have a shutdown, who do all the hand-wringing and say, well, we can't do that. Troops won't get paid. Border Patrol won't get paid. All of those things, all of which are concerning issues, but you just have to address them. Mm. So we're going to be in that same position if we're unwilling to demonstrate we're willing to fight. And at some point, you say, We're not waiting to get a different level of majority or waiting to get a certain number in the Senate or waiting to get a president. We have a majority. Let's use it.
Again, three seats, Dana, though. It is tough. Three seats.
It is thin. It is thin. And it was thin for Kevin. It's thin for Mike. I was giving a lot of grace along the way to Kevin to try to move this forward, figure out the numbers. Same with Mike. I'll give him grace. Right. But you got to get, when it comes down to deal time, you got to get something. Set up the fight and get some.
I get it. We're up against a hard break, though. Congressman Chip Roy, we appreciate you fighting the good fight on behalf of everyone, especially us here in Texas, but on behalf of everybody. And keep us updated. I know we'll be following it as well. But I appreciate your candor and your passion. Thank you. We got to get rolling, though. Wish we had more time. Well, love to have you back. You just say the word. Congressman Chip Roy, God bless. We have our third hour on the way, folks. Moments away. Stick with us.
See. But you and Goldman, who is Mr. Trust Fund, continue to try to...
Reclaiming my time.
No, I'm not going to give you your time back. We can stop the clock. You all continue to... You look like a Smurf here just going around and all this stuff. Now, listen.
Mr. Chairman, you have...
Like bad living.
No, hold on. If we're not on time, we can
just... disinformation.
You have gone on TV and said the president did something illegal. You're doing stuff with your brother. The American people have the same questions. Why should they believe you?
Why did he say he looks like a Smurf? Also,
why should they believe you?
Juan, I'm going to ask you to freeze that frame. I just need to look at the wrist bracelets, the wrist candy that this dude has on his arm. First off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. What grown-ass man wears that many bracelets? I don't care what all this... You can be like, it's for advocacy. Stop it. You're virtue signaling. Who wears... What man wears that much arm candy?
So does What Would Jesus Do bracelet?
I don't know who this guy is or why James Comer called him a Smurf at the hearing.
It's that blue suit, I think.
The blue suit?
And he's a tiny guy.
He's wee and it's a blue suit?
He is wee in stature.
I mean... There's so many bracelets on his wrist. His sleeve won't even go down. You're a man. Men don't wear arm candy, okay? They don't wear the wrist candy. They don't do that. You don't wear bangles. I don't care about your advocacy. That's what pins are for. You can wear an bracelet. An bracelet. That doesn't mean you wear all of them. You're not Johnny Depp. Stop wearing all of the accessories. Save some accessories for the rest of us. I can't get over that. Did you see all the how many bracelets is that? Juan, how many bracelets is he wearing? At least four.
Yeah, four.
At least four. I don't even do that. I can't stand that. I don't like, I can't stand sounds. I can't, like, on my wrist. Even though those look like they're the silica. I can't. And your sleeve doesn't come down. That's awkward. You know what? That shows to me that he's never actually put thought into it. I bet that's the first time he's worn all, and he's like, I'm going to wear all of them to show my heart is so big. Look at me with all my advocacy bracelets. I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what it's for. I just wanted to play it because Comer called him a Smurf, and I'm entirely distracted by the... That's what I would have picked up on. Welcome back, like I said, to the show. Dana Lash here with you. So I did ask you, give me a break here for 1 second. I did ask you, as the issue with the potatoes for Thanksgiving, can we just talk for a minute about how in my house it's a Danaocracy when it comes to starches? I know that this is America and we're in the land of plenty and we're celebrating with a feast on Thanksgiving, but for the love, how many potato dishes does one need? So in my family, because everybody's got, some people want two different, but it's a starch. How many starches are you going to have? You got to have the sweet potato casserole, right? So this is how crazy it gets. Sweet potato casserole. Oh, are you going to have the baked sweet potato? What? Yeah, the baked sweet potato with some of the butter and the cinnamon. That's basically sweet potato casserole is different. These are the conversations that I hear from people in my home. Mashed potatoes. That is like the one that I'm like, there's no question because you have to have a receptacle for the gravy. For your turkey. It's engineering. Thanksgiving plate engineering is a thing. Then you have baked potato, because somebody wants a baked potato. I've literally watched my stepdad eat a baked potato and mashed potatoes. He wanted both of them. It's the same thing in different form. Literally the same. And then the scalloped potatoes. Guys, we got to draw a line here. That is so many starches. I'm not even getting into, like, the green bean casserole. I'm not even getting into the mac and cheese because you got to have mac and cheese. Or the salad stuff. I'm not even getting into all of this stuff. That is, there has to be, I get it, it's the beautiful Irish fruit, but come on. There's got to be a line here. How many taties do you got? The sweet potatoes actually make more sense. The yams, like historically, that makes more sense, right? Because you got to have, if you have your sweet potato casserole, then some people are like, I got to have the candied yams that are like sliced up and then glazed and all that. Then they, I mean, you could literally have it a million different ways. Kane, how many starches? Taties. Tatey dishes.
Two.
See, that's what I'm
two
saying.
Two tops.
You're pushing it with me with two.
Go over two.
It's nuts.
It's kind of insane.
Yeah. Thank you. But then I have people are like, oh, we don't have this potato dish. As they look at the sweet potato casserole, the mashed potatoes, the scalloped potatoes, the candied yams. I'm like, what? Oh, I thought we were going to have this potato dish. There's all these tater dishes out here. Enjoy one of the four that have been prepared. We don't eat six. Golly. It's making a mockery of Thanksgiving.
What's your top two?
Stop it.
What's your top two? Or
sweet potato casserole, mashed potatoes.
And what's a third?
If I was forced, I would do scalloped.
Scalloped potatoes?
But I ain't doing, like, for the people who are pushing me about the candied yams, for the love, it's cut up damn sweet potato. It's just chunked sweet potato. This casserole is mashed. It's the same thing. The same ingredients. The same thing. You don't need two. I mean, I only got so much space in my oven. You know what I mean? Golly. Someone said sweet, mashed, and au gratin are separate categories. We're going to ignore you, John, on social media. We're ignoring you. Oh, it's like a big deal. Right?
I do enjoy the twice-baked potato. Have you
Stop
not enjoyed
it.
That?
Stop it.
You've never had that?
Stop it. We're not introducing that to this conversation.
Twice-baked potato?
You get once baked. Wow. That's it.
Wow.
What are you, a hobbit? What about second breakfast? What is it? No.
It's my holiday too, Dana.
Oh my gosh, I can't deal. I can't deal, I'm telling you. All right, so we had, I don't know where, oh, the arm candy. Yeah, we were talking about the arm candy and James Comer calling that dude a smurf. I don't even know what that clip is from. I was just like, ma-ha-ha. It was like bad lip reading, but real. Have you guys seen some of the bad lip reading stuff? That's always my favorite. Who brought the tiger? Oh, man. I saw this thing. I'm going to pull this out. Who was it? Theo Von, who's funny. They had this discussion about Peloton that wanted to pull in it. Can I just say, I'm just bringing this up because I hate Peloton. Can we talk about Peloton for a minute? I hate Peloton to death. I am the stupid schmuck that ended up getting one several years back. I hate it. I wish I could blow the damn thing up. If it wasn't so heavy and awkward, I would have literally thrown it to the moon. I hate Peloton. And I think I hate the people on the Peloton even more. When I'm on the exit, what is this about community with doing this stuff? Stop trying to make everything community. When you're sweaty and working out, I don't want to be buddies with you. I'm not there to be buddies, whether it's in the gym or virtually. No, I don't give a rat's ass about your best time. I don't care. Are people that starved for connection in life? Go to church. Oh my gosh. Everybody's like, oh, you can just, and then you can like give somebody fives or something. What is that? I don't care. I don't want to be acknowledged and I'm not acknowledging you. Right? I hate it even. Like, my oldest son will attest to this. So I enjoy crochet. I feel like it's almost inappropriate for a woman of my age to say this. Baby Gen X. And I play games, right? I will play games. I'm a casual gamer. I'm not going to be like super serious. I'm not. I just enjoy it. It's fun. But I hate it when when you're forced to interact with people. I'm
like, I hate when I go out in public and the public is there.
It's like when I started playing Dark Tide, I was like, what the hell is this public lobby? I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to tell you good game. I just want to go in and slay and then be done with it. And, you know, like power up and kid out. That's what I want to do. I don't. Anyway, my whole point is I hate Peloton. Why is Peloton being picky? Aren't they the people whose sales have been like in the crapper? The Peloton people? And they decided to get all political. They got political with the BLM stuff. Then they got political with the Rona and all this other stuff. You literally do digital biking. Well, I mean, I guess they have some in-person studios. I don't know, man. I hate it to death. And I think I just hate bicycles. And bicycling. Oh, to death. Okay. I hate it to death. The only time it's appropriate is if you're on a beachcomber on vacation. That, or you're a toddler or a kid. That's it. I'm sorry if you're into that. I'm not. I hate it. I hate it so bad. I hate it to death. I have such a hostile reaction to bicycles. So
adults should not be riding bikes, is what you're saying.
No, I tolerate it because the law requires, but okay. I hate it. And I'm looking at this thing because it's in my bedroom. And it's like, I'm trying to think of the equivalent, right? What is the equivalent? It's like a golden calf in my bedroom. I just want to destroy it. I see this thing and my husband's like, you will not touch it. That was expensive. So we just keep it and hang clothes on it. I don't know what else to do. I hate this thing so bad. I want to build a trebuchet and put it in the trebuchet and then fling it into the lake. That's what I want to do. I've never hated an inanimate object as much as I hate the Peloton. It's stupid. And the seat hurts. It hurts you. And I don't like being trapped in a bike. Like you put the shoes on and it locks you in. The hell is that? No. Then you can't get away. It's just, if something's coming to get you, you're stuck. You're dead. You are dead. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happens if my house blows up and I got to get off this bike? I hate it. I hate it so bad. Anyway, can I just vent real quickly? Because I can't stand it. And the virtue signaling made it worse. It really pushed it over the top for me. The virtue signaling from that company. And then they're going to sit here and like pick and choose who they want to advertise with because of politics. Good grief. Give me a break. All right. So a few other things to touch on. You know what? I got some culture stuff for you. So this is in, I think this is in Britain. Hold up. Let me make sure I pull the right one up for you. Oh, yeah. So this is in Britain. First off, two things. Disney added pronouns to janitors' name tags. It's very important. They added pronouns to janitors' name tags. Okay. They have pronoun pins for their employees. Daily Caller reported that. Walt Disney World. They can fill out a form with their preferred pronoun. Really? Pronoun pins. We may have to go to break because my head may explode. And then coming up, one of the things we're going to touch on. This is the British one. So a charity for endometriosis, which is a painful condition that many women deal with. In Britain, they appointed a dude who pretends to be a woman as their CEO. Oh, I heard a lot of you girls out there. I heard a lot of you ladies just now. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that here coming up. We have headlines on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A United flight made an emergency landing in San Francisco after an alleged bomb threat, say officials, according to ABC 7 there. The UA flight, United Airlines flight, headed to Vancouver from L.A., made an emergency landing in San Francisco. They said, according to SFO's duty manager, that a passenger on board the flight announced some sort of bomb threat. They're investigating. Investigators are speaking to passengers right now who were on board the flight. It landed a little bit before 9:30 Pacific time. This is interesting. The Toys R Us. Weren't they closing a lot of stores? Yeah, well, they're opening a new flagship store at the Mall of America. I guess the Mall of America is still going strong. The iconic toy store chain that vanished from the retail landscape in recent years, they've announced that they are on Monday that they're opening a new flagship location at the Mall of America. And this is going to be ahead of the holiday shopping season. By the way, was there any greater joy than being a kid going into a toy store? No, it was just really epic. I mean, I, as an adult, it's still, I mean, be real, it's still pretty awesome. Toys R Us has played, they said they're ahead of the, they're planning an 11,000 square foot space on the first level on the east side. They'd filed for bankruptcy back in 2017. They ended up closing all 700 of their, more than 700 of their U.S. stores. They've been online. They've had a couple of initial forays back into brick and mortar, but this is going to be their second flagship store. The other is at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. I haven't been to a mall in years. They still exist, though, right? I mean, are they actually populated? Like, are there people, or is it like some backrooms type stuff? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's see. A former Oregon town official goes viral because he said that he's, well, he's made a mythical sighting claim. He said that he saw at the Green Peter Reservoir, a rock formation is where he saw a giant in October. He said he found a mythical giant in the Cascade foothills of Linn County on October 23rd. In the video, he said he was traveling on Quartzville Drive near the Green Peter Reservoir, and he saw a distinct rock formation open like a door, and peeking from behind the door was a giant. And he said then it closed back up, and before he filmed a video about the sighting. Are you sure he went like, hi? Really? What? Are you seriously entertaining this? Is this where all the Bigfoots live?
I think giants might be real.
Is this where the Bigfoots live?
Possible.
I mean, and it would be just like, what, a rock door? Wouldn't somebody have found it? Yeah, I don't know. All right. We have a lot more on the way. We have some culture stuff, the latest with Israel, IDF. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The human tragedy that is unfolding in Gaza is heart-wrenching, especially the suffering we see in and around the Al-Shifa hospital. I have been clear that the price of justice cannot be the continued suffering of all Palestinian civilians. Even wars have rules. All innocent life is equal in worth, Israeli and Palestinian. I urge the government of Israel to exercise maximum restraint.
Excuse me? What is, No. Lil Castro here. No, that's Justin Lil Castro Trudeau, who is saying that Israel needs to... No, you don't say Israel has to have restraint, especially when you've said nothing about Hamas. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. Bottom of this third hour. Did you guys hear about, speaking of this, because this is, you know, this is par for the course from Trudeau. Now, I will say that you had Benjamin Netanyahu responded to him on this as well. And because I would have just an absolutely stupid soundbite from him. And there have been a number of bad soundbites from Trudeau. But Netanyahu said it's not Israel that's deliberately targeting civilians, but Hamas that beheaded, burned, and massacred civilians in the worst horrors perpetrated on Jews since the Holocaust. And he said that while Israel is doing everything to keep civilians out of harm's way, Hamas is doing everything to keep them in harm's way, and that Israel provides civilians in Gaza humanitarian corridors and safe zones. Hamas prevents them from leaving at gunpoint. And he went, I mean, it's true. But Trudeau didn't address that point. He's just, you know, just like some of these other cats out there, like the BBC, was it the BBC? Let me make sure I have this right. I think it was. Yeah, they ended up having to go. Yeah, it was the BBC. They ended up having to apologize because they quoted Reuters saying, made up a quote from Reuters saying that the IDF was targeting the medical staff and Arab speakers at Al-Shifa Hospital. But that's not what happened at all. Yeah, listen to this. Audio soundbite 6. That is not... They apologize for this. Listen to this.
Now an apology from the BBC. A BBC News, as it covered initial reports that Israeli forces has entered Gaza's main hospital. We said that medical teams and Arab speakers were being targeted. This was incorrect and misquoted a Reuters report. We should have said IDF forces included medical teams and Arabic speakers for this operation. So we apologise for this error, which fell below our usual editorial standards. The correct version of events was broadcast minutes later.
I mean, that's like way different from, I mean, the correct version of events. You had people who were medical staff and Arab speakers with the IDF, and they said that IDF was targeting them. That is, how do you get that wrong? That's a pretty big thing to get. Yeah, that's a pretty big thing to get incorrect. I mean, they've basically been a they've been a mouthpiece for Hamas. I mean, they just actually, no one saw it. No one went to double check that. They just thought, you know, we're just going to go ahead and believe that Israel is targeting Muslims. We're just going to believe it. We're not going to question it. We're not going to say anything. We are just going to believe it outright. I mean, Hamas doesn't even need a PR firm. They have the BBC and they have the Washington Post and they have everybody else. I think that the way that the BBC apologized on that is a distortion even kind of what happened, because they made an assumption based, I don't know how you can say that it wasn't based on an ideological predisposition. And they assumed that Israel was doing what Hamas does. Wow. And, you know, they're going to, and I would imagine, too, Hamas has been using the false report from the BBC as propaganda. I mean, the IDF said that their forces included medical teams and Arab speakers. So how do you get, they've been targeting medical teams and Arab speakers from that? That is such a big discrepancy. I cannot wrap my mind around it. Because they immediately believe Hamas. They believe anything that Hamas puts out. Whatever Hamas puts out is exactly what they believe. That's a frightening thing. That's a frightening aspect. Now, speaking of ideological predispositions, did you hear what happened, by the way, at the rally yesterday? I mean, it was a peaceful rally. It was handled wonderfully. Over 290,000 people. But there were some others who really wanted to be there to add to that 290,000 plus attendee number. But they were blocked. They could not attend. And no one was giving them the straight story until like yesterday evening. So bus drivers staged, according to the New York Post, an intentional sick out. 300 Jewish people who were headed to the rally in D.C. were left stranded by bus drivers that staged a deliberate walkout. They said that they were stuck at Dulles for 11 hours before they were sent back home. They all, 300 people, got together and chartered a flight, which actually would put the price per seat about what you would expect for a regular average commercial flight, honestly. And then they were sent back home because they missed the entire event because bus drivers walked out so they didn't have to take them. There's three planes out of Detroit chartered by the Jewish Federation of Detroit. They booked several buses to transport the whole group to the National Mall. A third of the passengers weren't allowed to leave the tarmac. But then none of the buses showed up for the 10:30 a.m. pickup. And it was because they learned that there was a deliberate walk-off of drivers that was in response to that rally. That's, wow. And you can't, if you're on a chartered flight, you come in on a different tarmac, you have to have for big groups like this, they require you to have transportation off the tarmac. They had no buses to get on. So that's unbelievable. And they said that, yeah, they waited for about 11 hours. 11 hours. And they kept getting different stories. Like, oh, they're struggling to get through security, or they're struggling. No, no, no. It was just because they staged a, they had staged a walkout, or a sick out. They, an intentional sick out. And they weren't the only ones. There were people in Connecticut who had chartered buses to go to the rally who were also left without drivers. They ended up getting a bunch of cars and drove instead. Now, I would imagine if management, well, first off, I think every single one of these drivers that did this should be fired because that's insubordination, number one. Number two, the company, if management, if this was a management, if the, if they can prove that the company or management or anybody signed off on this, then the whole damn company could be in trouble because this would be classified as discrimination. And the left used to champion these laws, and apparently they want to flout them. I mean, there's a whole thing. Let me pull this up. I mean, public transit workers. I mean, go back to Reagan. There's a reason. There's a whole history about public transit worker transit workers and strikes and what you can and can't do. But this was not a something that the drivers did that just happened to coincide with some kind of contract negotiation. That had nothing to do with that. There was no negotiation. This was them staging a sick out just to target Jewish customers. That's what this was. And that's pretty anti-Semitic, because that has nothing to do with you just dislike Netanyahu, or you dislike you know, how the Israeli government might be handling X, Y, and Z. You're just literally refusing to drive Jewish people because they're Jewish. That is anti-Semitism. That's anti-Semitic. I think every damn one of these workers should be there. Make their names public and fire them. That's what I would do. If I ran a company, I'd be slapping your name up on posters and be like, I'm firing these people because they're Nazis. And I would just legit put it up publicly. Hey, you know what? Free market, right? Free world. That's just sad. They couldn't even drive the bus. But that's what they... So we'll... I mean, I'm sure that there'll be follow-up to it, but I just can't... But that is anti-Semitism. That goes beyond just disagree. It's not about disagreeing with a governing style or a politician. That is targeting people because of who they are and what they believe. That's the thing at play here. Just wild to me. Wild. And that's why, I don't know, I just, the whole thing, when with the way the media, I had a piece in the Washington Post here, I was going to pull this up, because they apparently had nothing on their front page about how many people had turned out. Like, they had stories apparently going up, at least digitally, wondering, you know, how many people are going to be at this rally, and is it going to be peaceful? And then there was like nothing. I guess they couldn't write anything bad about it, so they just did nothing. Now we're going to get into some other things, including some tech issues. We're going to dive into some new policies. I just saw something with Facebook and Instagram. They're going to allow political advertisers to say past elections were rigged or stolen in anticipation, I guess, of 24. We'll see.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, certainly we're in an environment where the number of tips and threats that are being reported to us have gone up significantly since October 7th. We were already, as I testified earlier, already in an elevated threat environment even before October 7th, and it's gone to a whole nother level since October 7th. The biggest chunk of the threats that have been reported into us by a good margin are threats to the Jewish community, synagogues, Jewish prominent officials, things like that. We also have a large number of tips and leads related specifically to Hamas and radicalization and recruitment.
So that's FBI Director Chris Wray, who's saying that the threat level against the U.S. has gone to a whole other plane since October 7th, but most of the threats, in fact, not really all of them, have been targeted towards the Jewish community. So then why the focus on Islamophobia? Thank you. from the administration? Why is all of the hyper focus on that? Very interesting indeed. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And why is all of that the way that it is? It's fascinating. So the president meeting with Xi Jinping in San Francisco, really curious as to how that's going to go. I'm curious as to how much of his son's cocaine he had to take in order just to be like able to understand what's being said. Stay awake. Yeah, to stay awake. He met face to face with him today. Everyone says it's high stakes. You think? Super high stakes. That's why we can't be playing around with this stuff. Super high stakes. Trying to normalize relations. I'm still trying to get over all the... Someone was saying that, you know, the video where Xi Jinping is riding in his little armored vehicle and you have all of the CCP flags lining the streets and all of this stuff. And people were saying, well, that's normal for a summit to have the flags out. Dude, that's a communist flag. Yeah. Shut up. We don't fly communist flags like that in our country. We're not flying commie flags. That's a commie flag with a literal, you have like, there's all these messages talking about the CCP. Then you have the other stuff flown where the hammer and sickles on it. We don't fly that stuff here in the US of A. Are you kidding me? Like Khrushchev said, without firing a shot, we'll take over America. And using the excuse, well, it's a summit. They're communists. We're not flying in some sort of celebratory or respectful fashion flags of communists. Better dead than red. Just saying. People think that's so mean to say. Just paying homage to, you know, my Ramon shirt is all. Goodness, goodness, goodness. All right, so make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack, because there's a lot of, I have a Nikki Haley piece that's going to be coming out. It's still drafting. I got to finish it. But I have that piece coming out because the idea, her on bots and anonymous trolls and apparently not knowing how VPNs work and all of this. You got to be really careful with this stuff. Republicans always get themselves in trouble when they think that the solution to a problem lies in more government, but that if they're the ones wielding the more government, then it's okay. But they don't realize that then you just allowed for more government to be used, and whoever takes over after you is going to be able to do the same thing, but maybe not have your motivations. It's so like, how limited in the scope of thinking are these people? So we're going to touch on that. All right. In the meantime, today in Stupidity Came.
All right, Juan, this is Cut 16. This is Jamie Raskin, Representative Jamie Raskin, talking about pistol braces and how they make guns into, I don't know, H-bombs. Listen to what he's saying here.
And I also wanted to say a word quickly about two amendments to strike provisions in the bill that are going to make it a lot easier for gun buyers to circumvent the law and turn pistols into concealable assault rifles. In January, DOJ published a new rule to restrict guns with an accessory known as a stabilizing brace.
So the stabilizing brace, it turns the pistol cane into an assault rifle. Yeah. It just adds all that barrel lengthage on there. It's amazing.
Makes it more powerful and concealable.
You put the brace on it, it makes the barrel longer. You didn't know that? So crazy. And you can seal it. Jamie Raskin. Wow. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, like, and subscribe. YouTube as well. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.